Welcome to the First Century Church Podcast. My name is Stephen Wilhoy, and I'm the lead pastor at First Century Church, and it is an honor to have you with us today. The goal of the podcast is simple. We want you to be encouraged, challenged, and inspired to go further in your faith than ever before. If you'd like more information about the church, you can visit our website, firstcenturykc.com. And if you happen to be in the Kansas City area anytime soon, we'd love to have you join us for one of our live gatherings to connect with you in person. Again, thanks for joining us today, and we hope that you enjoy today's message. So we want to continue our series, Summer Psalms, today. And we're not just continuing the series, but we're actually going to pick up from where we left off last week. We cut it in half last week. And so we're going to continue really a journey that we started last week down the highway of life. We talked about life as a highway. And so we looked at Psalm 37. So we'll be there again today if you want to go ahead and turn there on your phone, in your Bible, whatever you have. If you don't have a Bible, we have some under some of the seats here, so you can make use of those as well. And if you don't own a Bible, you can take that with you as our gift to you. You can take it, read it, let God change your life through it. We're in Psalm 37, and what we're doing is we're navigating what we're calling four street signs on this highway of life. God has a direction intended for your life, believe it or not. God has a will for your life, and he's not letting you drive blind. He'll let you drive blind if you want, but he gives us road signs, street signs along the way to help us navigate this highway of life and faith. And so we looked at two last week, and we'll look at the final two today. So in case you missed, if you missed it, I'd encourage you to go back and listen to the entire thing, because we're just going to do a quick recap of the first two before we launch into the second two today. But we'll do a quick recap of the first two road signs on the highway of life. The first one we looked at last week is the caution sign. The caution sign. And there could be a lot of reasons, like in life, why you would use this while you're driving. There's a lot of ways in your life this could be used and helpful, but the way in which Psalm 37 specifically uses this caution sign is at the very beginning of the very first verse. It says, "Don't worry about the wicked." And so we talked about last week that there are a lot of really bad people that do a lot of really bad things in life. Maybe you've had someone do something to you, and you know what I'm talking about. There are some shady people in life that do some pretty shady things. There's a lot of corruption and injustice in the world. And so our caution from Psalm 37 is to not live our lives fixated and consumed by the wickedness and by the wicked people. And the reason for that is this phrase that we sort of coined last week on this caution sign, and it's this: don't let people poison your peace. Don't let people poison your peace. So we don't condone or justify or ignore bad behavior by bad people, but there's a balance to it. We also have to have a good handle on our hearts. So it's not healthy, as we discussed last week, to live in anger and rage. And that's what the psalm says in Psalm 37, that this, if we worry about the wicked, it leads to anger, which leads to rage, which leads to us losing our temper. And that's the progression that we want to avoid at all costs. Because this fixation on the wicked, worrying about the wicked, it does unhealthy things to us. It causes bitterness and resentment to build in our heart and grow and become out of control. And before we know it, we've become someone that we don't want to be. So the caution is, don't let people poison your peace. Don't worry about the wicked. So the second sign that we looked at last week was the one-way sign. And really, here we focused on verses 3 and 5 specifically. There's three words or phrases that we focused on here. I'll mention them very quickly. The first one in verse 3, it says, do good. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. It also appears later in verse 27. So our one-way thinking and focus will lead us to then follow God's one way in how we live life. So if I'm looking at how God looks at life, it will change how I live life. If I'm focusing on what God focuses on, it will alter how I live and how I behave and how I speak and how I do everything in life. So it says, do good. And then in verse 3 and 5, the word trust shows up in both of those verses. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. And in verse 5, it's connected to this word commit. Verse 5 says, commit your way to him. We looked at this Hebrew word from this verse last week. It's this word galal. This word commit is the word galal in Hebrew. And it simply means to roll away. So when we commit our way to the Lord, we're rolling our life onto him. And so that was the focus of this highway sign, was roll everything over to God. Living this one-way life is not just doing all the right things to get a pat on the head or a pat on the back. It's not just so I get a sticker on the chore chart or I can get my life hung up on the, you know, the refrigerator in heaven somewhere. It's I'm committing everything to Him. I'm rolling my worldview over on the Lord. I'm rolling my opinions over on the Lord. It's His way. I'm rolling my relationships over to Him. I'm letting Him take care of that. I'm rolling my dreams and desires and decisions over to Him. And I'm rolling my cares and worries and fears over to Him. I'm letting Him handle those things. Now, this is not always easy. As we mentioned last week, what we are tempted to do is to pick those things back up. I'll roll them over for a while until I panic that it's not happening the way I want. And so, okay, God, I guess I'll take care of that because You can't. And so, no, we want to roll it over on Him and leave it there. We want to live His way, follow His way, and trust His way. Those are the first two road signs that we looked at last week. So now as we continue our journey on this highway of life, now we've kind of hit the home stretch. That's what we're going to look at today. We're hitting the home stretch of Psalm 37 and these final two street signs from this psalm. So let's jump right into it today. Here's the third overall, but the first today. The next road sign on this highway of life as we're in the home stretch is the yield sign. The yield sign. Psalm 37, verse 7, the first part of the verse says, "Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for Him to act." Does anybody already hate this verse? Be still. Oh, gross, God. Are you serious? Wait patiently? Yeah, right. Who wants to do that? So we already have this, I don't know if I want to do that. But yielding is important on the road, isn't it? If I'm merging into, you know, if I'm merging from my one little on-ramp lane into a four-lane highway, and I just do not care what's going on, I'm just going to zoom on through in my way, in my time, not looking around, not checking the mirror, not looking at the speed, not looking at the flow of traffic, I'm just going to go, bad things could ensue very quickly if I don't yield, if I don't take a second to just slow down, look around, see what's going on, and then move forward. It's the same way spiritually with our life. Yielding is so important. Be still. Wait patiently. So what we have to learn to do is become comfortable with a couple of things on how God works. We talked about it in worship today. It's amazing how the Holy Spirit just kind of orchestrated everything today. We have to become comfortable to yielding to God's timing and God's methods. Yikes. God's timing and God's methods. Now, this is not easy, but as we do this, here's what we're going to discover. Here's the main takeaway from this street sign that we'll focus on today. Waiting is worship. Waiting is worship. A life yielded to God is worship. Being still in His presence is a form of worship. Waiting patiently for Him is worship. Flip over just a couple pages to Psalm 40, and we'll see how this goes very easily here. We can see the progression here. Psalm 40, verses 1 through 3, shows us that waiting is worship. Psalm 40, verse 1, "I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. He has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see what He has done and be amazed. They will put their trust in the Lord." Waiting is worship. But living this life of worship yielded to God is unnatural. Because in life, we're ready to go, 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 and never stop, never slow down, never touch the, I don't even need a brake pedal in life because I'm not going to use it. Just take it out, right? So that's how we live life much of the time. We're always on the move. There's constant noise, constant stimulation, constant activity. However, if we never yield to God, we're going to miss most of the time what He wants to do. So let me give you a best case scenario and a worst case scenario if we refuse to yield. Best case scenario, when we refuse to look around, pause for a second, and yield on direction, best case scenario, we're going to miss the proper exit and have to go further down the highway, take a loop back around, and then get to where we should have been months ago. That's best case scenario. Worst case scenario, we cause like a multi-car pileup on the interstate highway of our lives. We want to avoid both of those mistakes. Even best case scenario, no, God, I want to do all I can to get out of my way and be in the center of your will for my life. Trying to navigate what that is requires that we yield to God. Following his direction requires sometimes I got to stop and look around and make sure I'm in the right place at the right time and trusting that he's leading me where he needs me to go. There's two examples from scripture I want to use to illustrate this. And the first is when the Hebrew slaves have just been released from bondage in Egypt and they have left and they've walked out and they're singing and rejoicing and this is the best day ever and we've waited for 400 years for this to happen, yada, yada. And they just go, go, go. And then they keep walking, walking, walking till they get to the Red Sea. And now they have nowhere to go. And what they may not know at the time is that Pharaoh, who decided to let them go, has suddenly changed his mind. He's decided, you know, maybe I want to keep 1 million free laborers, and so I'm going to go get them. And so he sends his army to capture them and bring them back. So while they're at the Red Sea, they might hear hoofbeats in the distance. We don't know the timing of all of this, but there are people who are here in this situation, thinking that things are great, but realizing, whoa, we're in front of a sea and there's nowhere to go but back. Some people say, hey, let's go back and be slaves. Life wasn't that bad. I mean, yeah, we were whipped and beaten and mistreated and worked like dogs and, you know, whatever, but let's just go back and do that. So in their desperation, they were going to do a really stupid thing. They were going to trade off their freedom for bondage and slavery yet again. And so it doesn't say this in text, but I'm sure there were some people who, when they heard the army coming, are like, we're going to fight these guys. We're going to do something, right? And so that's probably also not a good idea because we have no weapons, we have no training, we have no armor, we have nothing. And so that's not going to end well. But what does Moses tell them to do? They have an army behind them and a sea in front of them. Exodus 14, verse 13. Moses told the people, don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. So even when everything inside wants to react or run or fight, the instruction is to stand still. When everything inside is panicking, the encouragement is to stay calm. And so the people yielded to God's timing and God's method, and they were witnesses and participants in one of the greatest miracles in the history of the world. They waited on God and his timing because Moses says to wait, but right after that, God says, no, tell them now to move. And so they get to where the sea is. God opens up the sea miraculously so they can walk through on dry ground. And then the second act of the miracle is that when they walk through and then the armies behind them, the waters converge and drown the entire Egyptian army. That didn't just happen just because. It happened because God did it, but they had to be yielded. They couldn't say, well, no, God, we're not going to wait. We're going to stand and fight these guys, or we're going to go back to Egypt and just give up on this new way of life that you've given to us that we waited for hundreds of years for. They had to be yielded to his timing and his methods, and they were witnesses and participants in a great miracle. The second example is in 2 Kings chapter 5. It's a man named Naaman, who is actually not an Israelite at all. He is a commander of the armies of the nation of Aram, who have been fighting against Israel. And he has a servant girl who is Jewish, and she gives him some advice. And the reason she gives him advice is because Naaman has been struck with leprosy, this incurable skin disease. So his Jewish servant girl says, hey, why don't you go to Israel and have the prophet there heal you? So Naaman thinks about it and decides, that sounds like a good, yeah, I'd like to do that. So he takes a bunch of gold and silver as sort of an offering or payment or whatever. He's prepared. He goes to the king of Israel and says, hey, I'm here for my healing. My servant girl said to come for my healing. And he's like, well, you came to the wrong address. You need to go down the street this way. There's a prophet named Elisha, and he'll take care of that. And so he goes down the street and finds the prophet Elisha. Now, again, Naaman is a probably highly ranking official he's a commander in the army. He's a pretty important guy. So he shows up to the prophet's house, knocks on the door, and the prophet's servant comes out and says, hey, Elisha has some instructions for you. If you go down to the river Jordan and dip in 7 times, he says you'll be healed of your leprous skin disease. And so Naaman, who again is not Jewish, he's not an Israelite, he has to decide if he's going to yield to God's way or not, if he's going to yield to God's timing or not. And initially, there's some offense taken by Naaman. He's like, wait, 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 wait. I don't even get an audience with the guy himself. He sent his representative out to give me instructions. So initially, there's some offense there. And then he's like, well, couldn't the prophet just come out and wave his hand over me and I'm healed? Why is it happening this way? And then, to make matters even worse, he says, the Jordan River, it's pretty nasty. It's pretty gross. There's lots of other better options that are cleaner, nicer, closer to home that I'd rather dip myself in. So we lived in San Angelo, Texas, for about 6 years before we moved here as youth pastors. And there's a lake there in San Angelo called Lake Nasworthy. And it's known as Lake Nasty Water, okay? So I can just, I would not want to dip 7 times in that nasty water lake. So I can sympathize, maybe almost empathize here with Naaman. I don't know that that would be the method I would choose, but that's the method that God chose. So Naaman had to decide, will I yield to what the prophet's messenger of this God told me to do? Eventually, he makes his way to the Jordan River. He dips in 7 times, and he is healed of this skin disease. He yielded to God's methods. The reality is, God may not work when you want him to work. But the question is, will you yield to his timing? The reality is that God may not work how you want him to work. But the question is, will you yield to his methods? Will you say, okay, God, I don't get it. This doesn't make sense on paper, but I'm going to trust. I'm going to yield to your way. So Kim and I also, coming out of college, as most college students do, had tons of student loan debt. Yes, we are one of the many stupid 18-year-olds that decide we want to sign the rest of our lives away by paying a college that I haven't been to in 20 years, you know. So we had tons of debt, and we were always praying for God to provide, God provide, God provide, would you provide? And what you hope for, when you pray for God to provide, what you hope for is that check in the mail, right? That's what you want God to do. You want some, you know, rich benefactor who heard of your plight and decided to write you a big fat check. You know, they come to your house with a big cardboard check and, hey, look at you, we're going to pay off your debt. Or you're hoping for the government to do this thing. Like, I signed the paperwork, but I want them to pay the bill for me. Like, that's what we want to happen. We want this easy, quick fix. Now, sometimes God might do that, but not in every case will he. So we learn this where we're praying and maybe hoping in the back of our minds for God to do it this way or for a miraculous story that would just make in the news headlines. It would just be so amazing. And what God did instead was he told us to move into a little tiny 2-bedroom, barely full bathroom house. Okay? We had to yield to God's method in paying off this debt. That was the method. That was the tool that he used. And so our bathroom, it technically was a full bathroom, but you couldn't even fit your Roomba in there to go in a circle, okay? It's just, that's, we call it our tiny house for a reason. We met some awesome neighbors from that, and so that's an additional benefit to living in that house for 3 or 4 years. But that was the method God used to pay off tens of thousands of dollars of debt that we're not dumping into a house payment. We can just use to pile on and pay off that debt. So it's not really as snazzy to tell that story as, we got a check in the mail, but that's the method that God chose to use. It's a miracle nonetheless, because we had to be yielded to God. We could have said, well, that's not flashy enough, or maybe that doesn't make any sense, or why do we want to cram ourselves into this for even a few years? It didn't make any sense, again, on paper in our brains, but it was the method that we yielded to God. Even in purchasing the building that we're in right now, we had to be yielded to God's timing on that. Because when this building opens up at the end of 2018, we were less than a year into a 2-year capital campaign to try to get ready to purchase a full-time facility. So when this comes up, I'm like, we're like 9 months in to a 24-month project. The timing doesn't work. It doesn't make sense. And so there was some yielding that had to happen to say, okay, God, my timing, this is not working out. This is not according to the plan here, but God's like, will you yield to my timing? And so we just step by step did the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. And the next thing you know, God provided everything we needed to make this our new home over 6 years ago. So we had to be yielded to not my timing or method, but God's timing and God's method. When we do that, God will take care of us. Here's also the major benefit. Even though we hate waiting, we hate being patient, we don't like that, we resist that, it's unnatural. Here's a benefit, a classic verse here, Isaiah 40:31 tells us a major benefit of yielding to God. It says, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. If we try to walk without waiting, we will grow weary and faint. We just will. Here's what I fear. I fear that too many people miss their miracle because they refuse to wait. We walk right by the answer that God has given us because I just don't want to stop for a second and wait. We just move on through. I fear too many people will faint, they'll get discouraged and give up because they just go, 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 go and never yield to God. I fear too many people will sometimes blame God for the situation they're in when in reality they didn't wait on God's timing or believe in God's methods. I tried it my way and my timing and I messed it up. And so now I only have one person to blame, and I'm not going to blame me, obviously. So we point the finger elsewhere and God gets the blame. But no, it's his way, his timing. We have to yield. And so the question is, the challenge is, are you yielded to God? Will you be patient with God? Will you worship by waiting on the Lord? And one, we'll move on to the next one in a second, but a big part of this, an opportunity that we all have regularly to practice waiting and yielding, is in prayer. Prayer is a constant, consistent opportunity that God has given each of us to yield to him, to wait upon him, to listen for him, to be directed by him. But we have to approach prayer in the proper way for this to work. I don't mean work like it's a magic trick. I mean like it's designed to be. So what we can't do, prayer just can't be God, blah, 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 amen, and we're done. Okay? It can't just be God, I need, I need, I need, they need this and that, amen. Prayer is an opportunity to yield ourselves to God, but it takes a little bit of time. It takes some practice. It's kind of maybe awkward if you're not used to that, to sitting in your prayer time, to just wait upon the Lord, to just have your spiritual ears and eyes open. And God may not say anything to you in that moment, but however, having that heart that's yielded to him may prove beneficial down the line. It could be later on in the day when you're not really, you don't think you're really listening, but you listened earlier, your heart's more receptive, your antenna are looking for his frequency, when he just drops the answer into your heart or gives you the encouragement that you needed to get you through the day. Whatever the thing is, whatever that next step or that direction is, prayer is a huge key. We have to make time to sit and reflect and meditate and increase our awareness of him. So what I don't want us to crash and burn. So we have to yield. We have to trust. We have to obey and see God come through. That's the benefit of yielding to God. Here's the final road sign, the street sign that we'll look at for a few moments today, and it's the parking sign. Don't you love after you've been driving or traveling for a while, you finally see a parking sign? We finally made it to where we've been going this whole time. The parking lot sign is right there. I can see it. There's our spot. It's just glowing. You know, it's so beautiful and majestic. We love, after traveling or driving, getting to where we intended to go on time. So the main theme or takeaway from this final street sign is this statement, and it's simply this: God will get you where you need to go. Now, that's not the deepest statement in the world. I didn't obviously make that up. That's a tried and true thing. However, it's not the deepness of the statement. It's the trueness of the statement that makes it so powerful. And it's whether or not we believe it that will affect our lives. So if you believe that God will get you where you need to go and you live that way, it will affect your life. If you don't believe that God can get you where you need to go and you don't live that way, it will affect your life. And so what I want to do is look through really four verses here just throughout the entirety of this psalm to look at how this street sign works, how this statement is true. God will get you where you need to go. We'll see the joy and the results of following these street signs. So let's go back up to Psalm 37, verse 4. Psalm 37, verse 4 says, "Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires." Now, this is not a God will give you everything you always ask for verse, okay? So don't go that way, okay? I know this is on like a lot of coffee cups and Bible covers and stuff, but it's like sometimes we misuse this to be like, you know, rub the lamp and the genie will grant my wishes. That's not what it's saying. The focus is on what I'm delighting in. The focus is on the condition of my heart, the alignment of my heart. Because if I'm delighting in him, you know what's going to happen? The desires of my heart are going to more closely align with his desires. It's not going to be that far of a stretch for me to ask for what's already God's will because I'm delighting in him. I have proper focus. My heart is aligned to him. And that results in peace and security and contentment and all the things that we look for as our heart's desire, the prayer of our heart is, God, not my will, but yours be done. And that's a tough prayer to pray, and it could be a dangerous prayer to pray, but it's the way for God to get us where he wants us and needs us to go. It's God's way. It's always best. As we delight in him, he will grant the desires of our heart. Then go down to verse 6. It says this, he will make your innocence radiate like the dawn, and the justice of your cause will shine like the noonday sun. So this connects back to last week a little bit. We talked about don't worry about the wicked. Because sometimes when we worry too much, we decide we're going to take it on. I'm going to take this person on. I'm going to set the record straight. I'm going to correct them. I'm going to smack them in the face. No, don't go that far. But sometimes everything inside of us wants to do that. We want to take control of the situation. We want to right this wrong. We want to be the justice person who does the thing and with the flaming sword and righting every wrong on our white horse. But if we try to do that, we're going to make a bigger mess than we should. So we don't want to take it too far. We don't want to become someone that we don't want to be. We don't want to become wicked like the people that we worry about we looked at last week. But it says here, if we can just trust God in this, he will get us where he needs us to go. He will right every wrong. The truth will eventually win out. That rumor that's been said about you, God will eventually work that out. He will stop up the people's ears to stop hearing those types of things. He'll open their eyes to see the people that are saying those things are probably not people I should listen to or give any attention or time to. He will work that out. He will work that out. Again, it's his timing, his method, which I don't always like because I want to set the record straight. It's my reputation on the line. I want to make sure that everybody knows what the truth is and what really happened and what really went down there. But I got to just trust God. He will get me where I need to go. Justice will be done. It will radiate. It will shine like the sun, the psalmist says here. So that's an important connection even from last week. Then we're going to look at a series of verses kind of in the middle section here for this third part of this last point here. So let's start at verse 16 and see the next really benefit of following these road signs. Verse 16, it is better to be godly and have little than to be evil and rich. For the strength of the wicked will be shattered, but the Lord takes care of the godly. Day by day, the Lord takes care of the innocent, and they will receive an inheritance that lasts forever. They will not be disgraced in hard times. Even in famine, they will have more than enough. Let's skip down to verse 25. Psalm 37, 25. Once I was young, and now I am old. Anybody say amen to that? All right. Yet I have never seen the godly abandoned or their children begging for bread. And then verse 28, the first half of verse 28. For the Lord loves justice. He will never abandon the godly. So living life God's way, following these signs, what it does is it gives God the opportunity to truly take care of you. I'm not trying to take an opportunity here away from God. I want him to show off for me. I don't want to look back on my life and say, look at all the things that I accomplished. Look at all the wrongs that I made right. What I want to do is look back and say, look what God did. Look, when I gave it over to him, he handled that beautifully, perfectly, in a way that I never could. When I gave these cares and worries over to him, when I gave him all these situations in my life, look at the beauty that he made from them. That if I had gotten involved, would have made a huge mess of. I want to give God these opportunities to supply my needs, to come through over and over and over. In the moment, I'm going to think that my way maybe is better or more direct. In the moment, I'm probably going to insist, let's go this way. No, not that way, this way. But we have to have a more long-term vision. That's what we looked at a little bit last week as well. We want to give everything over to him. Again, the psalmist says, once I was young, now I am old. So what he's saying here is God's way works. It works. It's flawless. He never fails. He never disappoints. He never lies. He never abandons. He never fails to come through. In whatever situation, whatever area of your life, whatever care you have, whatever thing that you need, God can and will take care of you. It works. I was young. Now I'm old. In my entire existence, I've never seen God fail to come through. I've never seen it happen. God's way is the best way. He will get you where you need to go. Here's the last verse on this final point, this final stop, or this final street sign is verse 23. Look with me at Psalm 37, verse 23. I love this verse. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. God directs and God delights. So the whole point of these street signs in your life is because God wants to direct you. God has great plans for you. God has a destiny for you. He's not trying to hide it from you. He's giving you these signs. He's giving you mile markers. He's giving you flashing lights. He's giving you everything that you need to get you where you need to go. These are the signs. This is why God gives it. He directs you because he delights in you. And I love this comparison. So if you look again back at verse 4, the psalmist tells us to delight in the Lord, right? Verse 4, delight in the Lord. But here in verse 23, he says, God delights in you. Do you have any idea how much God loves you? It's really too much to comprehend. It's too much to imagine how much God loves you. God delights, he says, in every detail of your life. One of our traditions that we do when we have family meals together, which becomes rarer and rarer the older that we all get, but when we sit down for dinner, we will do what's the highlight of your day, that sort of thing. And so we'll sit there and kind of share. And it could be the most, like, especially for me, my back didn't hurt today, or, you know, something really stupid like that. But there's always some sort of highlight that we have in our day. And what I love is that the psalmist says God loves those moments. God loves the lowlights. God is interested and cares and delights in every detail of your life. And it's not because he's power hungry. It's not because he loves to control everyone and everything. That's not why at all. It tells us he directs us because he delights in us. He wants to be involved because it's best for us. He's telling us, my way is best. Trust me. Follow me. He's saying, my timing is perfect. Trust me. Hang in there. He delights in us, and that's why he directs us. He will lead us and guide us where we need to go. God will get you where you need to go. So on this highway of life, let's follow these signs. Let's look for them. Let's not zoom by them, but what is this sign? What may God trying to be doing in this situation? What direction is he leading me? Am I to sit and wait? Am I supposed to go now? Am I to slow down just a little bit? What am I to be cautious about? It's this one-way thing where as we yield to him, he will get us where we need to go. Let's follow these signs on this highway of life. It's the adventure of a lifetime. Let's pray today as we close. God, thank you for loving us so much. Thank you for delighting in every detail of our lives. And thank you for these last 2 weeks where we've seen through Psalm 37 these road signs, that you have a destiny for each of us. You have a plan and a purpose for everyone here today. You have a will that you want us to follow. You have a direction that you want us to go. And so by your grace and in your mercy, you give us these signs. You don't let us drive blind. You don't let us go without any instruction or direction, but you give us these road signs. So God, may we see them and may we follow them down the path you have laid before us. May we use caution and trust you. May we stay down this one-way street. May we yield to you, because as we do, we will see that you will get us where we need to go. We believe in your perfect will. We believe that you will accomplish more in us and through us than we could ever accomplish on our own. So God, may we trust you all the more. May we give everything over to you. May we completely yield and surrender to you and say, yes, Lord, your will, not mine. Your way, not mine. Your method, not mine. Your timing, not mine. Help us, Lord, even in times of weakness and darkness and fear and despair and anxiety and uncertainty, help us to stay firmly fixed on the center of this road that you have us down, following these signs to a great, great way that you want us to go, the destination that you've designed for us to go, the stops and the turns and the exits that you want us to take. God, we want to be faithful to follow you with these road signs on this great adventure of the highway of life. God, I pray a blessing over everyone here today as we navigate life. We would do it with you leading us every step of the way, and we thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen.